So let's all open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God. We do ask that we direct us in the path you'd have us take. We do ask that we minimize this pain that John's been experiencing and help Justine to recover from these sprains that she has in both her ankles. Help her be able to adjust to using these crutches for a short period of time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so in Deuteronomy chapter 11 here. Tammy, you want to read verse 1 of chapter 11?
Yes, give me a second.
Sure, you have a minute. Take a minute. Or two? Okay, third?
I don't know if I need that much time.
We'll take the amount of time you need.
Chapter 11, verse 1. Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge and statutes, and his judgments and his commandments always.
And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children, which have not known, and which have not even have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm,
and his miracles, and his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt, and the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and to all his land.
And what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses, and to their chariots, by made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them, as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day.
And what he did unto you in the wilderness, until ye come into this place.
And what he did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the sons of Reuben, how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, rather their households, and their tents, and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. So looking, pausing for a moment to think about what Deuteronomy, we've talked about this before, we've discussed this before, Deuteronomy is a review of things that have happened to Israel in the previous 40 years. So they're looking back, it's a historical gazing back to what had happened, a review. These are people that are here that were not living during that time period. When we study American history in our classrooms, we look back at things that happened before our time. It's an interesting fact we look at. And so here, the same thing is happening. 40 years previously, these things were happening. And something very unusual happened. Because God wanted Israel to go into the land immediately. But because of their stubbornness and their lack of faith, that was delayed by about 40 years. And so this is another generation. The previous generation, most of it had the previous generation was 20 years and above, had died off, or was about to die off, or was going to turn into the wilderness and die off out of the wilderness. They were not going to be permitted to come into the promised land.
Except for two.
Who were the two? What are their names?
Joshua.
Joshua, and who's the other? What's the other man's name?
Caleb.
Joshua and Caleb.
I'm not Bill now.
Yes. No.
Joshua.
Okay. It's okay. It's okay.
A lot of people forget.
Yeah. And so I knew Aaron had died, and I knew Moses wasn't going to cross over into the land, so I forgot.
And so if we go back for a moment to think about what was happening, they came out of Egypt with God's mighty hand, and several months went by, and they were coming. They came. They traveled by foot, with all their families, all their cattle, all their possessions, and so it took them a while. But they got there to the borders of the promised land, and God says, "Let's send some men to spy out the land. One man from each tribe. We know there's 12 tribes, And so Joshua and Caleb were one of the 12. And 10 of the spies came back and they brought what the scripture describes as an evil report, a negative report, and saying, there's no way, these guys are big, they got big walls, you know, the dogs, you know, they make this big horror story about how it's impossible. Yeah, it's a beautiful land, but the people that are there, there's no way, they're saying, we could have any victory. But Joshua and Caleb are saying, yes, beautiful land, the people are big, but guess what? God's bigger. He's able to give us this victory. Because they had to witness what God had just done. How God delivered them from the mighty Egyptian army in the hand of Pharaoh. They witnessed all this. And so Joshua and Caleb come with a positive report. But the people decided to go with the report of the 10 spies rather than the 2 spies. And so the punishment is, all right, God tells people, God's very angry with them. He says, for each day the spies were in the land, they were in the land for 40 days, you're going to spend 1 year in the wilderness wandering around in circles. And anyone that was 20 years and above will not be able to go into the promised land. So they had to wait 40 years, except the 2. The 2. With the exception of the 2, Joshua and Caleb, were the only 2 that were going to be able to go into the land for above that age limitation. And so there's a reviewing of all this. And so, noticing here in the question number 1, what 4 things were the children of Israel to keep? They were to keep charge, keep his charge, keep his statutes, keep his judgments, and his commandments always. Now they had a problem with this, just like people have problems with keeping God's laws, God's rules today. Not the people that are lost people, but the people that are believers. We're saved by grace. There's no such thing as sinless perfection. And so when we sin, there's a remedy for that. That's confession of our sins to God. He says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we have a promise. But in going back, there's a great difference between Israel and the church. We know that. We understand that. Scripture's clear on that. And so Israel, at the time of Israel, this is going, again, 40 years or so after they left Egypt. They were in Egypt for about 400 years or so. They left Egypt. And these were what they were to keep, these things. The charge, the statutes, the judgments, the commandments. So tell me question number 2, please.
What are 4 things their children did not know about the Lord? They did not know the chastisement of the Lord. They didn't know his greatness. They didn't know his mighty hand or his stretched out arm.
Right, so the children, particularly the ones that were not born at the time, they had no idea of knowing these things. Sometimes you look back in pictures of things that have happened in your life, if you have pictures, and maybe they're not, maybe not you, you're not in the picture, but you'll go take your pictures of different events that happened in your lifetime, and they're things that you remember. So I remember when that happened, looking at that picture, I remember that, even though you may have been a lot younger. Or you may read about something. Oh, I remember about that. And so, it's what the children did not know, they didn't know these 4 things that were listed in this verse. There are more than that we see in the next verse. 2 more things. They didn't know his miracles and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt, Pharaoh, king of Egypt. It's one thing to, they didn't know about it whatsoever. Bill, question number 4.
What happened to the army of Egypt? They perished in the Red Sea.
Right, so they didn't know about this either. They weren't there. I mean, there were some things, if we witness, if we're there, it's more ingrained into us. If it's a first-hand account. But if it's secondhand, if we no one even tells us about it, we don't even know about it. We have a lot of history that we can have access to in our country. And so there's a lot of things we can read about, a lot of things we can listen to on the radio or on the now on the computer. You type in something you want to hear, and I was listening to some radio station the other day, and they had some speech that Truman was giving. It was Truman himself was talking and giving some. He was talking about politics, his campaign speech, and the issues are about the same. Basically, more or less, just change it up a little bit. You change names, faces, and so forth, but they're very similar. But the idea of they didn't know that. They didn't experience that. There are people that, when you think of the, when during World War I, at the beginning of it, you had Pearl Harbor, so that's a big event. You have Normandy, that's another big event, that we weren't there. Sometimes we see some footage of it, we read about it, but we didn't experience it firsthand. Be able to understand those big cliffs in Normandy. It's hard enough to storm a beach when it's flat. When some of the enemies of the country are firing at you, but they scale the side of a cliff. The men that were there understand it better than we do. The men that were there, men and women who were there involved in other events, understand it better than we do. You know, the men and women who were there in New York City 19 years ago understand that event better than we do. We were here, we were living, but we weren't there. And so some of these people weren't there when God brought them out of the land of Egypt. We weren't there. But we can read about it. It's been recorded in Scripture. And so here, they're being told about it. This, if you want to call it the second generation after Egypt, they left out of Egypt. The first generation that came out of Egypt, and they got a second generation outside of Egypt that didn't realize what happened, weren't there when it happened. How, you know, he parted the waters of the Red Sea to let them across. I mean, that's how does that happen? It only happens because God had a part in it. He parted the rivers of the Red Sea, and they went across, and the Scripture says, on dry ground. And they got all the way across. And then the Scripture says, as we're reminded from this verse, how that Pharaoh and his army and his horses and chariots, the water of the Red Sea overflowed them. It came over them. They perished when they were pursuing after Israel. God allowed the water to part for Israel. Walking across on dry ground. And usually, we know, when we step in the ocean, it's not dry. But the floor of the ocean is not dry. When we're walking on the beach, we would step out on the water, the sand, but they went across on dry ground. So this is something that they're being reminded of, for them to think about. All related to this is the, you know, going back to verse 3, the miracles, the mighty acts, all these are related to what God did for them, how he brought them out of Egypt, the 10 plagues. And how they commemorate this climactic event, the day of departure, the Passover. How God delivered them and saved them at that point. How there was a specific ceremony, specific feast they were to hold. Started doing things in a very specific way, putting the blood upon the doorpost, top, two sides. So that the angel of death, when the angel of death came through the land of Egypt, how God passed over all their houses that had the blood on the door. And yet the houses that did not have the blood on the door, largely in part, the residents, the homes of the Egyptians, the death of the firstborn died in all those houses. A lot of firstborns were dead. And then, if that wasn't enough grief for Israel, it was part of God's judgment, their entire army perished.
For Egypt.
You know, they're into the Egyptian army, all the army perished. That was there, crossing over. So Tammy, where were the children of Israel before the camp, they came into this place? In the wilderness. Now, remember we have a 40-year gap, 40-year time period, rather. And so, the original intent was for them to go into the land immediately. But yet, they disobeyed. Remember, they believed the 10 rather than the 2. And so they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. During which time, God provided for them. That's what verse 5 is talking about. And what he did in the wilderness unto you, until he came to this place. Their clothes didn't wear out. God provided them food. It was the manna. A very special provision that he made for them. Tammy, question 6.
What became of Dathan and Abiram? The earth swallowed them up. It opened its mouth, and there was a big crevice, and swallowed them up. And from what tribe were they? They were from the tribe of Reuben.
Okay, so these are more events in their history. More events that they remember. In the review. When we look at our history of our country, there's certain key events that there's a lot of, we got books of history. We have a big, long list of dates to remember. But there's certain events that are more memorable than other events, or more notable than other events. Tammy?
Well, this would have been very unusual.
Yes.
I mean, it would have fit the category of the mighty
yes.
hand of God.
Yes,
know,
right.
Because it just doesn't happen.
No. It doesn't. They were rebelling against God. They wanted to do things their way. They thought their way was better than God's way. Let's read a few more verses. Tammy, verse 7.
For your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did.
Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong, and go in and possess the land, whither ye go to possess it.
And that ye may prolong your days in the land, which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to give unto them and to their seed a land that floweth with milk and honey.
For the land whither thou goest to possess it, is it not the land... rather, is not as the land of Egypt, from whence she came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot, as a garden of herbs.
But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven.
A land which the Lord thy God careth for, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. So, looking back here to question number 7, what did their eyes see? Again, this is going back as a review of the things that happened in the previously. But your eyes have seen the great acts of the Lord, which you did. They were witnesses. That's what happened. They were witness to wonderful things that God had done, had accomplished, and what he did. And the point is, he continues to do these things. That's what's happening. He continues to do them. He did all this in the past, and there's no reason to believe he will not do this in the future, from the perspective they're at, even from our perspective.
Yes.
You know. Bill, question number 8.
What were the children of Israel to keep? All the commandments of the Lord.
Okay, that we keep all the commandments of the Lord. And we know that their commandments are they're recorded. Moses, we got the ten. And there are other commandments also that they were to keep. And how is the land promised to the fathers described? It's a land that floweth with milk and honey. He wants to have them long, and a life that's prolonged. And he said, he swear this unto the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, were given the promise of the land. It's all that described as a land that floweth with milk and honey. A very beautiful land. Very beautiful land. Tammy, question number 10.
What country is the promised land not like? It's not like Egypt.
It's not like Egypt. No. The land it came out of, it's nothing like it.
All desert.
It's far superior. It's far superior to the Tammy.
Well, I was thinking of how, I mean, I was talking about the water.
Yes.
How they had to water it. I guess I'm jumping the gun because in the next verses it talks about that, how the rain comes from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm just thinking of the Nile River.
Right.
And how they used it for a lot of irrigation in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So, just kind of an interesting
it is.
Contrast.
It is interesting. Yeah, they're very, in Israel today, the irrigation system is, but it's different though. It's night and day by comparison to Egypt. And the list three characteristics of the promised land. It's got hills, valleys, and drinking water of the rain from heaven. So that's the rain comes down from heaven. God waters the land. God is the one that is watering the land. Question number 12.
Upon what are the eyes of the Lord on the land, and for how long? Always.
Always. Eyes of the Lord are always upon the land. And Tammy, question 13. I mean, not question 13. Let's read some more verses, beginning with verse 13.
And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul,
that I will give you the rain of your land in this due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil.
And I was saying, grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full.
Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside, and serve other gods, and worship them.
And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you.
Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. So looking back here to verse 13 for a moment, but what was Israel encouraged to hearken? They were encouraged to hearken to the commandments of the Lord. Very important to hearken, listen diligently to God's commandments. For people that fail to listen to God's commandments, they will go the wrong direction. Just like when they listened to the 10 spies, that's not what God wanted them to do. God wanted them to have faith and believe that he was going to provide for them and give them direction for them. Tammy, question number 14.
What was the Lord going to give Israel if they hearkened unto him? The rain for their land in due season.
Rain. They got the first rain and got the latter rain.
I have a question.
Sure.
The first rain and the latter rain. So the first rain Maybe it was before they actually planted?
Probably, yeah.
And then the latter rain, either after they harvested or right before they harvested?
I think it has time of the whole span of it, whole span of the planting time, and you know you want to have the first rain because you have to want to have nice, the soil has to be prepared.
Right.
You know, and the latter rain comes, you know, near the harvesting time, I would think. That's how I would probably put it.
It takes a long time for the crops to grow.
It does. It does. It takes
5-6 months.
Yeah, 5 or 6 months for it to grow.
Yeah. Plants can't go that long without water.
Mm-hmm. And so, and you want them to be able to gather the corn, the wine, the oil, all these things to provide for them. What was God going to provide for the cattle? To provide grass for the cattle. I will send grass in the fields for the cattle that they may eat and be filled. So for the cattle, he's providing for them. Bill, question number 16.
What might the results of a deceived heart, what might be the result of a deceived heart? To turn aside and worship other gods.
Yeah, they're gonna when the heart is deceived, if that were to happen, as they were saying, they're gonna turn aside from following the Lord and go this way and follow the strange gods. So their heart don't let the heart the idea is to them is don't let your heart be deceived. By application, our hearts should not be deceived either for any reason. What could be a consequence of the wrath of the Lord? Well, if the consequence is he could withhold the rain. The very, very important rain is very important. And he could shut up heaven, so there will be no rain whatsoever. So consequently, no rain, no crops, no grass. And so that's what God could do if they cause the Lord to release his wrath upon them. Hand me question 18.
What are some things Israel were supposed to do with the words of God? Well, they were supposed to lay them up or store them in their hearts. In other words, they would have to meditate and memorize them well enough so that they were in their heart and their soul and bind them also outwardly upon their person so they could reflect upon them as they're meditating and memorizing them, thinking of them.
So bring it to the inside, like you said, in the heart, and then and outside bind it upon their hands, and so it's always with them. The Word of God will be always with them to remind them of God's promises, of God's laws, of God's statutes. Let's read a few more verses, standing, beginning with verse 19.
And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up.
And thou shalt write them upon the door posts of thine house and upon thy gates.
Your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the midst, rather than the land, which the Lord sware to your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth.
For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to cleave unto him,
then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves.
Every place wherein the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness of the Lebanon, from the river, and from the river Euphrates, even into the uttermost sea shall your coast be. So, what were the children of Israel taught? What were they taught? They were taught, they were teach all these things. Where were they to teach? They were teach these in their houses. Or in verse 19, John, they were teach in their houses as they were on the way, when they rise up, when they lie down. This is where they were supposed to teach. It's where they were, the children were be taught in all these various in these various ways, in these various places.
Would the ways, would that be like the street?
Yes, I think so. That's right, that's what it would be.
So when they're home and when they're away.
Mm-hmm. They're home, when they're away, when they wake up, when they go to sleep, the whole time, all throughout their day. So that they would understand and learn about God and about his promises, about his commandments, and how he provided in the past. All these things were talked about here in the book of Deuteronomy as a refresher course of what happened to their whole history of Israel. How God provided for them and how God was promising them a Messiah and a Redeemer that was coming. All these things were happening when they were throughout their whole day. So question number 20.
Where were God's words to be written? On doorposts and gates.
On doorposts and gates, that's right.
Entrance to the city and the entrance to the house.
Yes, that's good. Entrance to the city, entrance to the house, the words of God were to be written. So they would receive them and be reminded of them.
And since they could be written, they probably had them written for their own study as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some sort of paper that they may have had.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the front and
yes.
They
on their wrists on their hands.
Do you know how that was configured?
No, I don't. Maybe it was wrapped on. I'm not sure how it was configured. If it was on, written on a band of some sort.
And then they rolled it up.
Maybe, or how it worked, or how it was configured. I don't know how it was configured. Mm-hmm. But it was on the front, so your eyes. Mm-hmm. So it's right there, kind of. In the center of your mind. Our mind isn't the inside, but to personify it kind of writes right here.
What you do, your hands.
Probably on their prayer cloths as well, which they wear still these days.
Mm-hmm.
They walk around, you know, and to let everybody know, hey, I'm religious.
Mm-hmm. That's what they do today. I mean, they're trying to. I mean, they have these. They follow that. They have the ceremony, but they don't understand of.
But it has a biblical. I mean, it's a command from God. So it's this. It's not. The perversion of it is one thing, but it's your command from the Lord. You know, to think on His commandments and
yes.
His mm-hmm. statutes or something. Then again, hi, John.
Hello.
And so we have a. Good.
I have something else to comment.
Sure, please do.
This verse.
Okay.
We were talking about how it's in the homes and the street.
Right.
And if they were. It says. When I first saw this, I thought like a time of day, but you asked where. But it would be like in their beds. And then in the rest of their house when they're up and about.
Mm-hmm.
So that covers their whole. Their whole time, all the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they're either on the streets or mm-hmm. else they're at their home.
Right.
And if they're at their home, they're either walking around doing things or they're, you know, in bed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you have a comment on this verse too or not?
Mm-hmm.
Or it's all tied into, yeah, it's no matter what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's always there.
It was the question was where.
Where, yes.
So I was thinking of where they were in their bed, or they were walking around mm-hmm. in their house.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to answer your question.
Please, I'm glad. I'm glad you answered it.
John's hands up.
John, go ahead. You can answer too.
Yeah, you're right. This is question 19, right?
Yes, we're doing 19 and 20. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where? Everywhere they were. Their entire life.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They were taught every place. Mm-hmm. That's right. John, go ahead and do question 21.
21. What did the Lord promise to give to their fathers? The land.
The land. As the promises to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, he promised them the land. Going to number 22, verse 22, what are to be kept? Where they walk and where they cleave. And they were to keep the commandments, they were walking his ways, and they were to cleave unto him. Tammy, question 23.
What did the Lord promise to the nations? To do to the nations in the land, to drive them out from before them, and they would possess greater and mightier nations than themselves.
Mm-hmm. That's right. He said, push them out, drive them out. What was going to become, this is question 24, what was going to become the possession of the children of Israel? This is every place where the foot, the sole of your foot, stepped on. Every place your foot trod upon. If you're going here, going there, it's going to be all going to be become Israel's. Now let's read some more verses. Tammy, verse 25.
There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you.
Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse.
Verse 27, John?
Now,
yes, ma'am.
A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day.
And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods, which ye have not known.
And it shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee in unto the land whither thou goest to possess it, and thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim, and the curse upon Mount Ebal.
Are they not on the door? Wait a minute, I'm sorry. Are they not on the other side, Jordan, by the way where the sun goeth down in the land of the Canaanites, which dwell in the champaign over against Gilgal, beside the plains of Morah.
For ye shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord giveth you, and ye shall possess it and dwell therein.
And ye shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day. Bill, question 25.
Okay. What was the place, what was placed upon the land? The fear of God's people.
Okay, the fear of God's people. That's right. Fear of God's people. Fear and dread of them were placed upon all the land that was there. This is verse, question 26. What did the Lord set before Israel? He set before them just a blessing and a curse. In other words, they had a choice. Mm-hmm. What do you want? You want the blessing or you want the curse? And he's giving them, he's making them trying to think through this. I mean, who wouldn't want the blessing? But sadly, some of them went the wrong direction, they went the wrong way, and they got the curse. John, question 27.
What is the benefit for obeying the commandments of the Lord? A blessing.
A blessing, that's right. And we see here in verse 28, what's the consequence of disobeying the commandments of the Lord? We see it's a curse. So you obey, you get the blessing. You disobey, you receive a curse. Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, that's pretty much parallels our situation today. We get a blessing if we read the Bible, we understand it.
Yes.
We respect God and do all the things that God is teaching us to do. There's a curse if we don't believe God.
Right.
And that makes me wonder, too, is the Israel people there at that time, they probably didn't believe there really was a God either.
Mm.
Just like atheists today.
Mm-hmm.
And so the curse was placed on them.
Yes, that's correct. That's right. Tammy, question 29.
What mountain was blessed? No, Gerizim. And the curses were on Mount Ebal.
Mm-hmm. Two mountains. One of the blessing, one of the curse. Where is Cain located? The other side of Jordan, against Gilgal, besides the plains of Moab. That's where it's located. So, question 31.
Over what river did the Lord bring the children of Israel? Jordan. Not the Delaware. No. Jordan.
The Jordan, that's right.
No, it wasn't the Delaware.
And what was to be observed? We see here in verse 32, all the statutes and judgments of the Lord. And so, John, question 33.
What are some verses that are meaningful to you from Deuteronomy chapter 11? I always like the, I'll start with verse 1. Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. And to go along with that, you take verses 26, 27, and 32. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you to this day. I guess I skipped 28 there. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. But turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods. And in verse 32, again, we're talking about the judgment that set before you this day. We over and over again tells we are to observe what he has told us.
Yes, that's
now,
right.
Of course, for our age today, being in the age of grace, that does not bring in the ceremonial laws, as we've talked about in other classes and on Thursdays and Sundays, but the moral and ethical laws definitely still apply to us.
Tammy, how about you?
Well, I also like the first verse, and also verse 7 kind of ends that paragraph. But your eyes have seen all the great acts that the Lord, of the Lord, which he did. So those were the acts, kind of as a way of my understanding the flow of the passage.
Yes.
And then in verse 8, he's commanding them to keep the commandments for a particular reason, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, oftentimes he talks about you might have long life in the land and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
Often referring back to the land.
Yes.
And the possession of the land. And then, let's see, verses 16. And then there's kind of another paragraph talking about the land, verse 10 through 16. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, that you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then he proceeds to tell them how that their mind, their hearts would not be deceived by memorizing, meditating constantly, all the time, everywhere, thinking on the Word of God, these commands that Moses had given them. Yes. At that time, they didn't have all the New Testament promises and blessings. There were still some promises in the Old Testament that were given to them, given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Right.
And, and then the last one was like verse 26. I'm going to set before you these things, a blessing or a curse.
Mm-hmm.
Which do you want? So it's like you have a choice now. So.
Yes. How about you, Bill?
I chose verse 32, 27, and 28.
All right. And I like verse 1, 3, 4, 5, 7. Verse 16 is good. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside to serve other gods and worship them. So but to make sure that we are not, we're not deceived in any way whatsoever. And, question 34, Bill.
What do you believe the mood of the children of Israel was during the events surrounding Deuteronomy chapter 11? And part two, what are your feelings about this chapter? Well, they were disobedient. We call them independent-minded today, which is considered a virtue today. That, of course, comes from the devil, to be independent-minded, to think and conclude everything on your own, with so little knowledge and so little understanding.
Right.
That's a virtue, but I think it's stupid.
Right.
And we need to learn to understand God's way and continually read His Word, because that's the only way that we can actually grow.
Yes, that's correct. Right. How about you, John? Verse 34.
I'm 34. I would think that their mood during this time, as the Lord is telling them all these things, I've done this for you, done that for you, keep my commandments over and over again, that they would have some kind of humility in there, some kind of humbleness during that time.
Yes.
Am I coming through?
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay. There it is. The picture is here, and I wasn't sure. And one feeling about the chapter, I think we need the same message today so much. You know, Lord, I've done this for you. Keep my commandments. You know this is what's going to happen. You'll have a blessing if you do. You'll have effectively, and you will have some type of curse if you don't, because I've designed, He's designed these things for us to bless us. And if we follow what He tells us, a natural blessing will come from it. Life will be easier for us. You know, we can probably all think back about the situation in our lives where, you know, things got hectic and maybe our mind got off the Lord, and when we realized what was happening, we sat down and said, you know, we started doubling down on our prayers and maybe our Bible reading and trying to really apply it, and just those situations just kind of fade away. Lord can do some miraculous things.
That's right. You're right, John. Tammy, how about you?
Well, I would say the mood in verse 1, I mean, I'll give some other verses too, but that they were somber because Moses was laying out all these things that God had done for them. And things, some of the things that they had directly witnessed and some they had only heard about, and they had seen their parents dying off in the wilderness. And also they were hopeful because, you know, God says, I'm going to send you to a land that you won't have to water. I'm going to water it for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take care of you. And, you know, they needed to trust Him in that. And that was kind of that whole section, midsection.
Mm-hmm.
And He says, well, if you turn away from Me, you know, I'm not going to send the rain from heaven. But if, you know, you're obedient, then you'll get. And then we see that in Solomon's prayer and the dedication of the temple as well. You know, it talking about rain and shutting up heaven and that sort of thing.
Yes.
But I would think that they were, you know, hopeful because God had set some promises before them.
That's right.
They were conditional promises, mind you, but they were still promises.
Mm-hmm.
And they needed to have a certain amount of diligence to go forward in what He had commanded them. In order to put those commands in their heart, they had to make some effort at that. They had to think on them and talk about them and teach their children and thus
yes.
and such.
Mm-hmm. They did.
And He had a choice of blessing or a curse.
Blessing or curse. There was put before them was not. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were told to love God. You know, they were told, they were reminded of the many things that some of them witnessed in Egypt, some of them did not witness. They were kind of a review for them. And so it's surreal for them to think about these, the ones, especially the ones that weren't there. Maybe it was the fact that maybe they were saying, wow, we remember, we know how God provided for us in the wilderness. I mean, maybe they were taking this for granted. Maybe they didn't think it was unusual. What God providing for his own is really not unusual. But the fact of they have to understand that they have to continue to obey God and not walk after the strange gods. Strange gods, the gods made out of wood. You know, we got a bunch of wood. We got a wooden piece of furniture here. We got this thing's out of wood. You know, got some things out of stone that are out there. Those gods, those false gods, they can do nothing for them. So how foolish would they be? So they have to think about this and give them the choice set before them. Is it going to serve God, the real God, the creator of the universe? Or are they going to serve the false gods of the pagan people that are around them? Those false gods could not deliver them from the armies of Israel, because God was behind them. And they have the mighty hand of God behind them. They cannot fail. And so they were encouraged, I think, but then they were kind of maybe fearful in a certain sense. They were somber. I think you used the word somber, right, Tammy? So, very, very interesting how what their feelings were going, what were happening to them internally. More thoughts anyone has on this chapter?
Do we have another question?
What's another question?
What are your feelings about this chapter?
Oh, yeah, there's that question. What is your feeling about this chapter? Go ahead, Tammy. I mean, to cut you off, I'm sorry.
I find it interesting because it's kind of a picture of the Christian life. When you think about when somebody gets saved, you see all these mighty miracles of God, but then you have to continue to reflect upon them and remember them. And lest you forget and lose sight of his commands. And you have to take time to actually put them in your mind and in your heart. I mean, they have to start in your mind. If they're not in your mind, they're never going to get to your heart. But,
right.
And then you can, Lord willing, make the proper choice between the blessing and the curse.
Right.
And you won't choose the things that are in disobedience to him.
That's right. That's good. You have to make the right choice. As far as it's an example, you know, kind of what can become of us in a certain way. We have the same choice. I mean, where there is the distinction we know between Israel and the church, but there's also the choices put before us. Do what God wants us to do, or do what the world wants us to do. More thoughts anyone has?
Can anyone else have any answers to that?
Oh, Justine, nice to see you. Hopefully, I'm sorry that you're on. Your ankles are a little bit sore.
Not too much.
Yes.
At the moment.
It's been pulled and slightly torn.
Oh no.
But it's okay. Thank you.
Sure. You're welcome. Glad we can. So.
You're on your crutch. Hi, Justine.
You didn't ask John this last question, though, either, did you?
I answered that one.
He answered them all together. You want to answer the bill, or what are any feelings about this part two?
Well, I already said that. Yes. My feelings about it were you just need to consider studying the Word of God.
Yes.
Continually.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. That's correct. Tim, go ahead.
When I was studying, I went back and looked up those two verses that Pastor Waite often talks about, Romans 15:4.
Mm-hmm.
For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And also 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come.
So I give hope. You know, look at these things. I mean, admonition, I mean, of course, but then the idea of hope. I mean, so we have, particularly in this particular situation we're in these last several months, some people are very discouraged about different things, but there can be this hope. Yeah. You know, there's hope. You know, there's things that are, God's not changing. He's immutable. That's why. He's not changing. More thoughts or comments about Thank you for the reading those verses, Tammy. In the New Testament verses.
Jonathan on the top.
We're memorizing. John, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to add to what Pammy had mentioned about the scriptures in time past.
Mm-hmm.
We remember we read in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Yes.
So all scripture is for our edification.
Right. That's correct. All scripture.
That's good. I never thought of it in light of the Old Testament. That's good.
Any more thoughts anyone has?
Thank you for the class.
Sure. You're welcome. Next week we'll do next chapter. Chapter 12. Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you for the encouragement that the scripture brings to us. Allow us to learn by the examples that have happened to those in the Old Testament that we may not follow in the same errors that they follow in, but we would have hope in thee. We trust in thee for the future thou hast before us. Continue to help Justine recover from this sprained ankle that she has, Father, and we ask you, John, the relief from this pain he has. In Jesus' name, amen.